You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's what you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hooray! The government is open. And also, Pennsylvania has a budget. Whoop, whoop.
Everything is fixed.
Right.
Except I still don't have ABC and I don't have...
Oh, your ESPN and all that stuff. Yeah.
I still don't have WNEP or ESPN. Come on.
Well, get rid of YouTube already. What are you doing?
I'm waiting on my $20 credit. I got my email saying you can get a $20 credit. And I followed their email's directions. And guess what I ended up at? Dead end.
Oh, my gosh.
It's so frustrating.
Why aren't they just reimbursing everybody automatically? That should be what they're doing. But they're literally making you go reach out to them.
There's nothing more frustrating than going, following instructions. And they're like, all right, so here's what you need to do. You click on this to open this page, then click on account settings.
Right.
And you go and there's nothing that says account settings, just settings. And you click on that. And then it says, when you click on that, you'll see this. And that's not there. And you're like, did I click the, is there a
account? All right. Give up on the $20. Just hit cancel and go to Hulu or something. That's your answer.
I won't get the same sports package. Then again, right now, I'm not getting any sports through that. So you're right.
You will have sports.
I'm going to be one of those people that says, we don't have a television in our home. I like those people. No, I don't.
So anyway, that's
minimal.
Too bad.
That's
so the
only
government's
big
open. Yeah. Back to that again. People start getting paid. We do finally have a congresswoman sworn in after 50 days where her constituents had no representation. That is an absolute travesty. Political games. And yet I think it all it just blew up in Mike Johnson and the Republicans' face anyway, because there she is making a critical vote on the whole Epstein situation on a day when the Epstein emails from his estate are being released. A lot of people concerned about what's in those emails. And it looks like they got to 218 on that special, signatures for release of the files. Now, some people may have thought, oh, they have 218. Files are going to be coming.
No.
But it does set it up for a House vote on the floor, which is expected, I think, first week of December. Is that what we heard or something? Next week.
I think it's next week. I thought I heard next week, but then it's going to go back.
I believe it's next week. But then it also goes to the Senate. And what's the Senate going to do with it?
Squash it.
And then it can go to the president. He can veto it. They would have to have the 2/3 in the House. So, look, there's a reason why Donald Trump is hell-bent on not having these files released. There is no other explanation for a man who had talked about it, promised it, all of these Republicans who did the same. And then when they got a look at them, they go, oh, crap. There's no reason. Why else is he calling Representative Lauren Boebert in for top secret discussions yesterday?
That's a very weird story that came out. And they didn't deny it either.
Right. Well, it's multiple sources have said so. She even posted afterwards,
like, thank
thanking
you.
Them and agreeing on being transparent. To her credit, she did not fold.
Yeah.
But he did go talk to her. And there is no other explanation than they don't like what is in there. It does not look good for the president. And I think it does not look good for a whole bunch of other people, some of them very powerful people, aside from even a Prince Andrew. There are people on there who've worked in other administrations. There are people on there who either run companies or are bigwigs internationally. And I think it's time we stop protecting pedophiles and let the chips fall where they may. There's no other reason why he is hell-bent on not allowing this information to come out. So there's a lot of stuff we'll talk about in those emails. And a lot of kind of connecting the dots. You know, let's be honest. There's nothing there that says, here's a picture of Donald, da-da-da-da-da. Right.
So I think we need such a smoking, like an obvious smoking gun for anyone to go, okay, I agree that's bad.
I think that the fact that the way people behave is the biggest clue as to what might be in there. And anybody who felt like they would be vindicated, knowing all of this pressure and all these allegations are out there, would be the first ones to say, show the files, show them all. I'm going to prove myself not being involved in this thing. And instead, we're getting so much, it looks like panic from him and those top folks in his administration. So we do have some new emails from pedophile Jeffrey Epstein. Now, in one of them, he does claim to have compromising photos of dirty Donald Trump. Dirty is the word. Now, these 23,000 pages of documents have come from the estate. So we don't even have
the files
that are in the investigation, which I believe would include videos and other things.
This is
as
the
well.
One what the Dems had subpoenaed his estate and then mm-hmm. they released these emails as part of that.
Right.
Okay.
So just as an example, December 2015. Epstein told New York Times journalist Thomas Landon Jr. that he had photos of Trump with bikini clad girls in bikinis in his kitchen. Now, I don't know if that makes you a pedophile.
It doesn't.
Come on. But he said, would you like photos of Donald and girls in bikinis in my kitchen? He asked the journalist in an email. In a follow-up exchange with the reporter, Epstein claimed Trump almost walked through a glass door because he was distracted by young women. Here's the quote. Have them ask my housemen about Donald almost walking through the door, leaving his nose print on the glass as young women were swimming in the pool. He was so focused, he walked straight into the door. Again.
Yeah.
I don't think that's going to bring the house down, but I'd like to also say in reading these, there's a lot of questions about a journalist for the New York Times and the ethics surrounding some of the conversation. Others are saying, you know, he was saying, yes, I would like those photos because he wanted, you know, to pass them on. So others are wondering, did the New York Times or anybody else get anything and cover it up? That's another question. They say a lot of these open up questions that have nothing to do in the actual pedophile part of this thing. But the fact that this Michael Wolff, who writes books, is giving almost blackmail advice to Jeffrey Epstein, like, oh my gosh, these people, like anybody who got close to him seems to not look good in this whole thing at all.
And people, almost every situation we have someone who's a Jeffrey Epstein, a pedophile, people who groom others, they're very manipulative. So sometimes I think some of these things, if you take it from that lens of someone who's trying to kind of pull you in to make you feel comfortable, to make you expose yourself some unethical way, doesn't necessarily make you a pedophile. But
no, but it does call into question your ethics. And
there's a lot of smoke here.
Yeah. Meanwhile, another email chain, Epstein, discussing Trump's 2016 hush money case with Obama White House counsel Kathy Rumler in August 2018, a decade after the financier was convicted of pedophilia and a year before his alleged suicide. Rumler, again, Obama White House counsel, and Epstein discussed how Trump's attorney Michael Cohen turned on the president over payments to Stormy Daniels before the 2016 election. Rumler wrote, it makes no difference whether it was Trump's money, issue his failure to disclose. Plus, fact that he has lied his ass off about it makes clear he knew it was illegal. Epstein replied, you see, I know how dirty Donald is. My guess is that non-lawyers, New York biz people, have no idea what it means to have your fixer flip. And then another email exchange. An unknown individual tells Epstein that they are waiting outside because they didn't want to come early to find Trump in your house. Hmm. It's like, first of all, like these emails, too, sometimes it looks like children or teenagers wrote them. There's like no full sentences. There's all these grammatical errors.
Right.
It's just ick. A lot of questions, and there's so many of them that we're still getting information that people are talking about. I did see a couple, and again, we're going to be talking about this as more comes out. I did see another email that someone said Jeffrey Epstein and Donald Trump spent Thanksgiving together in 2017 while Trump was in office? Well, and then they have an email chain here that I'm trying to go through. So there's a lot of questions because I think there's a couple of things. There are questions about where Donald Trump gets his money from, and it could be from Russia. And again, this is just some of the dots that some are connecting. The relationship between him and Epstein is it was probably of all the people that Donald Trump, and he's been a well-known person for most of, I'd say all of his adult life. There's no one that you can really point to, at least not in pictures or socializing before he ever came into office, that he was closer to than Epstein. Like he doesn't have these longtime friends. The question is what was the fracture in their relationship? Now, Donald Trump and his people are saying, well, I knew he was a pedophile and I threw him out. And others are saying, no, it had to do with this real estate, some place that he wanted to buy. Epstein, he showed Donald Trump and Donald went out and bought it out from under him. And then that led to a fracture. But nobody fights this hard to not put information out unless they're protecting themselves or people very close to them.
And to your point, he doesn't have a lot of people super close to him. So if it's coming from him, it's probably about him. Because he thinks about himself.
Well, we know that his people going through those documents had how many people going through them to try to find all the instances of his mention? Well, we've heard from the other side. When we're talking about this Lackawanna County reassessment deadline, the plaintiffs, these are the people involved in that court order, which is the push for the reassessment and how it came to be in the first place. 60 years is a long time. And the plaintiff said it was unfair. And that was agreed to by judges. The other parties do not consent to delaying implementation of these new property values. I'm looking at an update in the Scranton Times Tribune today. Attorney Marielle Macker, the executive director of the nonprofit Community Justice Project representing the plaintiffs, reiterated in the response letter that the county's new assessments will result in a much fairer distribution of the tax burden. It's written, the county's current assessment scheme is deeply unequal and regressive, with owners of lower value properties paying far more than their fair share, she wrote. They also reject the notion the failure to include the old assessed values on those mailed reassessment notices amounts to any kind of a fatal defect. So accordingly, this is the quote, we do not consent to delaying implementation of the reassessed values, and we expect the reassessed values to be certified by November 15th, 2025. So will this prospect of a reassessment pause, will they continue to push for this? Republican Commissioner Chris Shermack would like to do that. Brenda Sacco, who's in there right now, would she want to do that? She's only going to be there for so long, but Tom Welby won the special election.
You're saying the same thing, right?
And he ran on pausing. But it looks like, you know, if the county doesn't do this, they would be in violation of that court order. So, I mean, you could fight this thing in court, but how much is that going to cost as well? Now, Bill Gaughan, Democratic commissioner, he thinks that has to go forward because he says it would be the county would be, not following the law. He claims, and this is the quote, if Commissioner Shermack and Sacco screw this thing up, it's going to cost the taxpayers at least $2.5 million next year that we don't have. Now, where is he getting $2.5 million? According to the Scranton Times Tribune, the $2.5 million estimate of what delay might cost comes from a document an official from Tyler Technologies recently sent to him. That is what the cost would be. Anyway, the deadline for the new values to be certified is on Saturday. So do we see this thing being paused? Should we roll the dice and pay more money to put it off? We wait to see. When is Tom Welby going to be sworn into? That should be happening soon.
We've gone back and forth a little bit, and understandably, you say, like, people have been overcharged for so many years. There are other people who haven't been paying enough. I know I fall into that category.
Underpaying.
But again, no, people weren't overpaying because they did something wrong. I'm not underpaying because I did something wrong. The system has been broken for so long. And what's going to, my biggest fear, I I'm trying to be fair, but at the same time, if I find out I'm going to pay it $200 or $300 extra a month,
right,
just out of nowhere, mm-hmm, it's going to be devastating to my family through no fault of my own, just because I happened to buy a house that happened to be, for whatever reason, whoever grandfathered it into everything. And I think a lot of people fall into that. And I feel bad. The sticker shock is going to be rough. Again, I don't know what's going to happen.
It would have been nice if they could have put in an estimated amount.
Yeah, I don't know.
I hope that they now, when they get these assessed values, obviously we're already getting to where you will find out what your taxes are.
Yeah. So it's not something I'm sure people will go, well, screw you, I paid so much. I understand that. And it sucks because you're right. But at the same time, again, it's not through any fault of their own. For people who live there 30, 40 years or whatever, that's just the way it's been. I've been in my house for like 5 years, maybe. Mm-hmm. It's not quite the same. And just to get hit like that, it's going to be a painful sticker shock. Mm.
Yeah, come on. The catwalk.
It's like a bad time machine showed up.
He's like bored. Like, I got to sing this song.
Yeah, it just feels like the music arrived via the world's worst time machine.
Sorry.
Where do we dump these? On the radio? Perfect.
I just thought I'd put you in a good mood today.
I mean, it's like musically, it's not bad because they're all catchy and I know them and it's nostalgic in a way. But at the same time, it leaves me with this kind of like, well, musically, it can only get better from here, if that makes any sense.
Sure.
And I feel like I insulted your music list now, and I did.
It's not mine. Like, it's not like anything personal.
You cultivated this in your lab.
No, there was a time not too long ago where I thought, okay, we're going to get some songs from like the 90s and the 2000s and the 2010s. Okay, sorry if I brought you back to a...
It's a fun...
Don't worry, in 20 years, you're going to look back on it and love it.
It's a fun time. It brings me back to my early radio career and some of the stuff I had to pretend
there's
I really
stuff
loved.
That I hated in the 80s that I love now, so... There's that.
No, I don't hate any of these. I'll be honest with you. And they're like, they became guilty pleasure songs. So it's the macho side of me, which is like half of a percent, mm-hmm, that make is like, I can't like these songs. I'm a dude.
Right.
But I'll leave it at that.
Leave it at that. All right.
I'm too excited for.
So the government shutdown is ended. I mean, it's over and they just got to get things going again.
Yeah.
Some of you have been working without being paid, but it's coming. You'll have a nice big fat paycheck. Meanwhile,
the job of perks. Yeah. Paycheck.
Pennsylvania's budget deal is done. Yes, the governor signed into law the $50.1 billion state budget. Yeah, it took months and months and months. But it looks like compromise in some ways because not everybody got what they wanted. Details have become out, obviously, hours after the deal circulated through Harrisburg. So what it does is it increases overall state spending by more than $2.2 billion, or about 4.7% compared to last year. Now, there were hopes that state officials might legalize and tax recreational use of marijuana and electronic gambling skill games.
But no.
But no, they don't. Yeah. It doesn't anticipate any of that money coming in. Now, it does address one thing that has been a bone of contention in Harrisburg, the diversion of money from traditional public schools to cyber charters, ones that students attend online. Districts haven't liked the payments. They say it drains their coffers and boosts online schools that don't have the same brick and mortar expenses or accountability measures in place. So Shapiro asked the legislature to cap tuition payments at $8,000 per student. So we got that.
Which is insane.
The budget proposal would reduce by $178 million the payments that previously flowed from local districts to online schools, and those savings are offset to some extent by another change. The budget proposal zeroes out some $100 million in cyber charter transition reimbursements from the state to help districts absorb those costs. The end result still benefits districts statewide to the tune of about $78 million. So public education seems to have fared pretty well when you look at what the changes are in this budget to get to an agreement. Some of the state's neediest districts will receive more than $565 million in what's called adequacy gap payments. And that seeks to correct school funding imbalances that a state court found unconstitutional. Schools statewide will share a $105 million pot in basic education funding. They also have access to an additional $40 million in special education funding. So we got that there. Now, the other issues on here, the whole climate situation was something that Democrats lost out. I'm trying to get the details here. Okay, the multi-state emissions capping program. The budget summary circulated by Democrats makes no mention of that, but environmental groups say the regional greenhouse gas initiative will be sacrificed as part of the deal to secure more education, human services, and other state spending.
No, don't worry. Like I said yesterday, in a few months, they got to start working on next year. So maybe it'll end up back in.
It's all about you have to share power. And you have Republicans in the Senate, and you have Democrats in power in the House.
You can't get everything. Try to get something that's important and lead with that.
Yeah. You know? There were other sacrifices by both sides as well. Originally, the governor hoped to increase spending by $1.5 billion more. But Republican-controlled Senate turned down the Democrats' plan, preferring to spend $47.7 billion. So Republican leaders warned that Democrats sought to spend more than they expect to bring in. The deal now pending in Harrisburg does just that, leaving the state with only a $200 million fund balance. So there's a whole lot of stuff in here and what went through. But it did get finally settled after 4 months. Luzerne County's Convention Center Authority did vote to approve a contingent sale of 6.2 acres. And that sale contingent of Solicitor Christopher Slusser reviewing a few issues in the sales agreement. We don't know the final sales price yet. First, they have to finalize it. And that allows the development of another hotel by the arena. It could be for more than $1 million, according to a discussion that they had back in April. Now, there's a co-founder of Onvo. Is Onvo where you go get gas and stuff?
Yes, the travel. It's a, yeah.
The co-founder of Onvo expressed interest about buying that land back in March. Onvo owns the Residence Inn, which is near the arena. So we will wait to see, but contingent on them, I guess, going through it with a fine-tooth comb.
say what you want to say about that area overall. Just a snapshot of the area. People who come into town for a concert, there's having another hotel is a good option. There's a lot of great restaurants in that area, a lot of shopping. You know, if you spread out a little bit, you see some of the things we all know. But from a tourist perspective, it really raises the profile of the area.
Mm-hmm.
It makes it more, it's a good opportunity for things to come to the area.
Right.
So I think it's good for any detractors out there.
It is.
Why would they do that? Last thing we need is another hotel. Fix the potholes. Totally two different issues.
Right. But. Well, data centers are a big issue here locally as well. Someone texted us earlier to say, you know, you could talk about something local like data centers, which we've been talking about.
We have. What are you going to say? It comes down to these like city councils a lot where they're going to make decisions or, you know, and a lot of people are just like, how can you possibly... Well, it's funny. I saw one. It was at Archibald. And someone's like, wait, all the people are saying no, but you people up there are saying yes. Again, they got put in that position by the people. Mm-hmm. That's the way well, you pay attention to you vote for.
There is a story on WNEP talking about community members who gathered in Archibald Tuesday night. And that was ahead of the borough council meeting to protest the proposed data centers. I'd like to. And we've been working to get Governor Josh Shapiro on with us because I was reading about, and I don't have it in front of me, but this talking about it in the state, should there be some kind of legislation where all of these places, if they come into an area, they are responsible for any additional costs as opposed to it being put on the community? And I'm making it a very simplified answer to an issue that has come up over and over and over again. Because these data centers obviously require sometimes, you know, a huge amount of energy. And if the company needs to do upgrades and such, it should be completely absorbed by those places. But it is a huge issue.
Agree.
And we have been talking about it and we'll continue to talk about it, especially there in that Mid Valley, that whole Archibald German area seems to be where a whole heck of a lot is going on. Now, Hazleton has one as well in Luzerne County, a few spots. I think people are starting to wake up to real questions about them.
And because it's such a booming industry right now, the data centers, some information is hard to find. Like you can see it'll cost, what was the number I saw? They can cost about $10 to $25 million to put up. But it's hard to find out how much revenue they're going to make. You know, is it going to be $20 million a year? And if that's the case, they're going to make their money back within a year.
Sure. No.
Or double that. So if they're going to be making crazy amounts of money, but not giving back to the local community, it's
Well, the
it's
big
tough.
Question is the number one reason why any community would want these places is the tax revenue. That's it. Because, you know, the jobs other than construction, there's not going to be a ton of jobs. So you better have a huge amount.
Correct.
Of, you know, what's the positive for having this, because the downside, energy usage, noise in some cases, you know, traffic issues, don't know if that's a problem. You know, it's just going to, if there's not a lot of people working there, probably not a lot of traffic problems. But it's all about how much money is it going to bring in? Because you don't just do things because we want someone else to make money. That's just not
as long
how
as
this
it's all transparent.
Goes.
There's no deals cut where it's like, oh, well, they're tax free for the first 5 years. That's how we got them. It's like, no. Mm. Like, that stuff is real scary when you hear about it and it happens here and there.
Yeah. The Mega Millions jackpot is at $965 million. We told you yesterday
Tell
there was no
billion.
Winner on Tuesday.
Yeah.
My husband's like, why aren't you buying tickets? And I said, I'm done.
Have
$5 ticket.
Have I turned you on this? Because you were pretty pro lottery.
I am. Well, no, it's not. Because I always felt like, all right, if it's $2, get a couple tickets. Now it's $5 with Mega Millions. He's like, just get one. And I'm like, I don't know if I even want to. I don't know. I'm just not feeling it.
Because lottery is not like if you go to like a local high school football game, you buy a 50-50 and you say, nah, I'll pass. But the person sitting right next to you wins. You could have been like, I could have bought the ticket.
I don't mind a 50-50. It's all for a good cause.
I understand that. But I'm saying if you don't play the lottery, it's not like if your neighbor wins, you'd be like, oh, could have been me. It's just all chance. So if you don't play, you won't win. You're just throwing money away. That's how I look at it.
Mm-hmm.
The winning would be nice.
I think it's getting too expensive. I went through a little addiction.
Okay.
I went, but this was to the scratch off tickets.
A month and a half ago. Okay.
I was, you know, I'd stop at the, there's a gas station near me, and I would stop there and I'd have a couple extra bucks and I'd go over to the lottery machine and boom, boom, boom. Cause you know, and I always used to win. I used to win something, even if I just got my money back. I went through a stretch. I probably spent $50 over like a week.
Whoa.
And nada. I got nothing. Mm. And I said, this ain't going well, Nancy. You got to stop. Got to get a grip. And I have completely cut it. It was a whole a week long addiction. I went past the machine when I was at the grocery store yesterday. I didn't even feel a twinge of wanting to play.
Wow. I got to tell you, it is funny how we look at gambling, like alcohol and gambling and stuff like that, so differently. If you tell that same story, but instead of lottery tickets, you say cocaine. That story is just like, we're like, oh my God, I had no idea. And we're horrified. And so we're like chuckling. That's a lot, though. That's
hard. For me, I don't normally buy those. I was embarrassed. I hit it. My husband was getting in the car once and I had like five of the tickets all scratched off in the console. And I'm like, throw them in the garbage. So I've come to terms with the fact that I need to just stay away from spending that money.
To your point, though, or to your experience, they used to be easier to win. Or they used to have more winners. It feels like I've had a couple because I would get them from my mother-in-law's gifts. It used to be you'd at least win $2. Yeah. You don't get anything.
No, now you have to spend like at least $5 on a ticket to win something. And see, I was buying the $1 and $2 ones. I'm still not at the point where I would spend. I don't pay any of them. Actually, I'm so cost conscious right now of everything that I don't even have any desire to spend any money on anything other than what I absolutely need.
When you walk by to the machines, say things like, hey, you. Nancy, come on over.
They're light up and they look
just,
at me.
Just give me a dollar.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first 2 orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, if you are a real scofflaw when it comes to toll violations, be forewarned.
You've got my attention. Maybe I am.
Okay. Some of you may not have paid your tolls from the turnpike. Okay.
Yeah.
But have any of you not paid your tolls for more than $12,000?
Wow.
God, I can't even believe that.
The state calls you, I believe. Wow, that's a lot.
There's more than 100 egregious toll violation cases in Pennsylvania. Just more than 100. But they are coming after what they being the Attorney General's office is coming after you if you're one of those 100. So the state attorney general's office is now going after the drivers who owe more than $12,000 in unpaid tolls. That's crazy.
How hard are they to find?
Can we just get people to pay any of their tolls?
But like, how hard are these people to find? It seems like they're always on the road.
Right.
Just look for them.
Yeah.
First, that's a lot.
First, they send the invoices to the registered owner's address. If it's not paid, then the case is handed over to a collection agency. If it's still not made, the customer has four or more outstanding toll by plate invoices or owes tolls and fees of $250 or more, their vehicle registration is then suspended by PennDOT. And that could lead you to significant fines. If you're driving with that, you could have your car impounded. You could have your license suspended. But look, there's not a lot of them. There's over 100. But the attorney general's office is coming after the ones who owe $12,000 plus, which fine. That makes sense. Yes, go after them. But really, are you following through on all of these things with the others who aren't paying? Now, the Turnpike does say it does successfully collect about 92 to 94% of transactions within 60 days. And they say that's pretty standard for other states. So from June of 2023 to May of 2024, there was about $187 million in unpaid tolls, an increase of $10 million from the previous year. That's a lot. So State Senator Lisa Boscola has introduced a bill to collect unpaid tolls by garnishing violators' lottery winnings and state income tax refunds.
As we just learned from our previous segment, there are no lottery winnings.
Very few of them.
Good luck.
You won $2. Sorry, it's going to pay your toll. Of course, you got to go after the ones who owe $12,000. That just makes sense.
I'm trying to think how that would happen.
That's a lot of tolls. So if they get 92% and they still have that many million dollars unpaid, is crazy. If they get 92 to 94% paid in 60 days, how is it from June of 23 to May of 24, $187 million is unpaid? Oh, my gosh.
I'm trying to figure out how that would be possible. You'd think with the technology, too. I'd like to think some of these people maybe are just clueless because I feel like that could happen to me. Like, it just feels like one day I'd be like, what do you mean you thought these were spam or fake? But like, I feel like as you drive through any of those things, you get a little light that says like it's been received or they see you. What if a little siren went off if you owed a lot of money? Like, you better contact someone.
Yeah.
Like a warning or something. Just for those people, to give you no excuse to go, I didn't know.
No, it wasn't me. All right. We do have a Pennsylvania budget. Finally, it took months. Both sides seem to have come together. Looks like a climate initiative that Democrats support had to get cut. Education did pretty well in the budget. Here's something else that is very helpful for low to moderate income taxpayers. Have you heard about the Working Pennsylvanians Tax Credit?
No, but I'm a working Pennsylvanian.
This is a refundable tax credit based on the federal earned income tax credit. According to lawmakers, it's going to provide over $193 million in tax relief and apply to about 940,000 taxpayers across the state. Now, the maximum you can receive, it's all determined by the number of children or relatives claimed as dependents.
Yeah.
So here's some of the maximum that you can get. And it depends on income. If you have no children claimed, you can get $650 back. But to be eligible for no children claimed, $19,000 for your maximum adjusted gross income. If you have one child claimed, and your maximum income is $50,434, you'll get $4,328. That's the maximum you could get there. For two children claimed, you can't make more than $57,300. But you could get up to $7,152 from that federal earned income tax credit. So, and then they have additional ones for like three children claimed as well. And then if you're married and filing a joint tax return, they have different numbers for the gross income levels. So according to this legislation, you can claim that tax credit for the 2025 tax year. Those numbers for gross income, by the way, the first ones I talked to you about was for single households. Okay. Married and filing a joint tax return has a bit higher of an income level. But I know I saw Governor Shapiro talking about this tax credit and touting it. And you'll hear more about it because it really will help put money in the pockets of people who are struggling. A lot of people are struggling, but obviously the less you have, the more you're going to be struggling as well. So it's called Working Pennsylvanians Tax Credit. You can Google that up if you want to get more information about it. But I do think that's something helpful, obviously, to people.
I would say my only, here's a real nitpicky gripe. I don't like the name. I mean, we're all working Pennsylvanians. It gets you excited. Like, this is really is poorly paid working Pennsylvanians, people who are making so little. Well, and this gives them a chance to, you know, recoup some of the, you know, get some of that money back.
It's going to be for, it's low to moderate.
I understand.
Income is what they're talking about. But again, people can struggle, but some people will struggle more if they have less. And we can understand that.
Understood. So it's a good thing. It's going to help people, not everybody. But yeah, a lot of times it's, oh man, that's sad. I can't even imagine. It sucks. If you qualify for that, you're really getting taken advantage of,
right.
I think.
570-883-0098. All right. We will get more into these Epstein emails that have been released. There's some really interesting stuff. And there's so much stuff. Like, information is still coming out today. And I think will be probably for the next few days. Because even, you know, some of them may not say anything really wild in them, but you still go, I wonder about this person, you know, that he's having conversations with. There's even emails from this one in particular, powerful people about how to have a relationship with a woman. It's such a weird conversation. The president is working really, really hard not to have these emails, not these. These emails are from the estate.
Yeah.
These emails are not the emails we're talking about when we talk about this House letter that has been signed now by the required 218 people, which would make it go to a floor vote, which is expected next week. And then it goes to the Senate. And then it goes to the president, if it even was to pass the Senate, and where I think he would roundly and quickly veto, and then they'd have to go back and get the 2/3 required to override his veto. Why is Donald Trump working so hard not to have the information in these emails come out? I think that's probably the most telling thing about this entire situation. The fact that someone is working so hard to stop transparency. But look, the information is coming out drip, drip, drip. And yesterday it started to come out before we saw the volume of emails. There's so much stuff to get into with it. The New York Times has a pretty long and, goes into detail headline. After Trump split, Epstein said he could take him down. Jeffrey Epstein cast himself as a Trump insider, wanted to leverage potentially damaging information about the president and his business dealings, according to emails with associates. Now, it was the mid-2000s when their relationship came to an end. There's a little rewriting of history, I believe, you know, Carolyn Leavitt or anybody in the Trump orbits trying to claim, well, I knew he was a pedophile, so I didn't want to associate with him anymore. It looks more likely that this whole relationship soured over a real estate purchase. That's what it was about back then. They say that Epstein remained intently focused on Trump for years after, though, their relationship went sour, seeking to exploit the remnants of their relationship up until his arrest on federal sex trafficking charges in 2019. This is from the New York Times. Mr. Epstein insulted Mr. Trump and hinted that he had damaging information on him. Turns gossipy, scathing, and scheming The messages show influential people pressing Mr. Epstein for insight into Mr. Trump, and Mr. Epstein casting himself as the ultimate Trump translator, someone who knew him intimately and was the one able to take him down. So this has put the entire relationship back into the public eye. The emails date to at least 2011, when Trump was a reality TV star. The messages hint that Mr. Epstein or his advisors believe they had inside and potentially damaging knowledge of Mr. Trump's far-flung properties and business dealings. Some suggest that Epstein thought Trump knew more about his personal conduct than the president has publicly acknowledged. So you can, spend probably the entire day and just get through a portion of all of them. But again, what's the most interesting to me is how hard he is pushing back against anything coming to light. Yeah. What's in there?
Yeah, like I said this earlier, you could say maybe he's protecting people who may be in there, but he doesn't typically look out for others. It's typically about, they're coming after me, they're lying to you. So that wouldn't be in Trump's character to say he's protecting others. You know what I'm saying? So at the same time, does it surprise me at all that Jeffrey Epstein is acting like a mover and shaker and a guy who's had his pulse on everything and wants to be in the middle? No, he's a manipulative creep who probably thought he was smarter than everybody else. So I don't know what to necessarily believe.
I'm just, to me, looking at these, it makes me wonder about more so, okay, first of all, Epstein's a pedophile, and we know that, and Ghislaine Maxwell as well. And I'm finding it hard to believe that people in his orbit didn't have an idea about what was going on. I truly just don't buy it. But on the other hand, I'm also concerned about, did Donald Trump, was he in any way financed, or did he in any way work with foreign interests in any way as well, and have, undue influence? A lot of what has been speculated before as well. I think there's a lot more in there than just, is someone a pedophile? It's also, who are they working with? And could that, have any impact on how it is that he would be a president or govern? But I think a lot of people are concerned, not just Donald Trump, about what might come out. I think there's people, Democrats and Republicans, and powerful people.
I think, for the record, I think it's probably safe to say, who cares who else goes down? If like, they
should,
like hardcore,
we should
evidence
know
comes
who it
out.
Is.
Yeah, if it doesn't care, it doesn't matter what party or who they represent.
It's time for justice. What percentage of high school athletes do you think will become a professional athlete?
Yes, for a percentage, I'm going to say probably like 0.5.
Actually, it's a little better than
that.
Is
it that 1.5?
Well, it's a little bit less than, it's a little less than 1%.
Okay.
Less than 1% of high school athletes will make it to a professional level. Now, it can also vary by sport. Professional opportunities more common in baseball or men's ice hockey than in basketball or soccer.
They have deeper minor league systems, but the but the idea of being a professional, getting paid to do it for low levels of money, isn't what you think.
And
being
I think
a
it also depends between male and female sports as well. There's not as many, obviously, for women. Anyway, 17% of parents believe their child is destined for professional sports.
Now, 17% of parents are delusional.
It is true. Look, let's be very honest. Now, some of you may say, well, okay, I don't think that they're going to be professional, but I'd like them to get into college, get the ride. Now with the NIL, hey, college, I don't know what percentage of students will become, let's see, Division I athletes. Let's look that one up. Anyway, it costs a lot of money for your child to be in sports. And I know this because nowadays, like it used to be, you may be able to play in high school, right? And move on from there and have scouts come out and see you. But now many of these sports have these leagues that you have to be in on the side that have nothing to do with the high school.
Well, there are a lot of who do you know, who do you associate with type things. Football players have to go to certain camps to get noticed.
And, right. Yes. And that's the same basketball. You have these leagues locally, but, they're brought. These are the best of the best players and they travel all over the place.
Like, so 17% of parents think their kid could go pro. I think that as long as that 17% is giving their kids, you know, every opportunity to try to be the best they can be, I think that's kind of cool. If they believe in the kids, that's awesome. But if they're like, I don't need to work, he's going to go pro. Like, that's crazy.
2% of high school athletes will compete in NCAA Division I sports. Now, 7%, though, will play a varsity sport in college. One thing I do know from having, friends of my son who played in sports in colleges, if you're, NCAA Division I, if you're going to those places, your sport is going to take up the vast majority of your time. It really is. But for those who go to a Division III school, I think for some it is shocking to them as well how much it impacts trying to learn and actually going to courses and because you're traveling, and obviously you're traveling by bus sometimes hours away in addition to practices and such. It's a huge drain.
It's not the glamorous life you thought it would be.
So parents need to get real about it. And also there are doctors who say it's not good for students to be in one sport year round because you can be more prone to injury that way as well. But that's what's happening now. You used to have these students who would be like, I play football and then I play baseball. And, they have all these sports. And now it's like it's one sport.
I think it's interesting, too, because 17% of parents think their kid could go pro. I wonder what percentage of those parents think their kid could start an amazingly successful billion-dollar business, because that's probably, something I just know kids I grew up with, they weren't pushed.
Putting that energy into something else could also pay off. Yes.
Yeah. Something where you blow out your knee, it doesn't kill your company.
This is true.
Your income.
That's the toughest thing to watch is when somebody really has potential and then they have an injury.
Granted, medical science is amazing. They put people back together when they're broken into pieces. So it's a different time, but still.
So we've been talking about Epstein files that have been, emails that have been released, not the files the government has. That's a whole other issue. I love this, though. Ghislaine Maxwell, I don't love her. What we're hearing is she's getting special treatment, like extra toilet paper.
Maybe she goes to the bathroom extra much.
But she has special privileges in prison. Why, why is this administration allowing a pedophile and trafficker of underage women? I don't want to say women, girls. Why are they allowing her special privileges? Why are they treating her with kid gloves? Why did Donald Trump go to such lengths yesterday to talk to Lauren Boebert, one of the signatures on that, disposition, trying to get the files released? What is he working so hard to try to cover up? I think that's a question we all have to ask, because sometimes the way people behave tells you so much about what's going on. It's really, really wild.
I feel like on a personal level, it's like if you have a phone and you're in a relationship, someone grabs your phone. If you get defensive, give me my phone back. What are you hiding?
Yeah.
It's kind of like that.
It makes no sense, especially when you promise to let the information out to get elected. And then all of a sudden you're like, no. I don't want anybody to see this. All right. Let's quickly just talk about Senator John Fetterman right now.
Yeah.
He has a new memoir out, and there has not been a good relationship, I guess, between him and Governor Josh Shapiro for some time. And in his memoir, he explains why they are no longer on speaking terms. It had to do with when they were on the State Board of Pardons 5 years ago. So Fetterman was the lieutenant governor at that time. His new book is Unfettered.
Good title, by the way.
Shapiro was the attorney general. And they were butting heads over commuting the sentences of two men. And it got to a point where Fetterman called Shapiro a blanking blank blank during a hearing.
You got to give us more than
that.
Well,
a blanking blank hole. How about that? There you go.
No,
you feel better now?
No, that's fine.
So he said that during a hearing. But I guess he didn't know the microphone was still on. So,
it's a common mistake.
Privately, also threatened to run for governor, as Shapiro was planning to do. Here's his quote. I told him there were two tracks. That one, meaning him running for governor, Fetterman.
Yeah.
And the one in which, I told him there were two tracks, that one and the one in which he ran for governor, and I ran for the Senate, which was the one I preferred, wrote Fetterman. I had no interest in friction, only in what I felt was justice. So it's been no secret, because we've always often have heard this, like they're not buddies.
I've never heard this before, and I guess I haven't seen this before, but it makes sense.
But it all goes back to a pardons board, and Fetterman thought he was being too, he thought too much. He was about the sentences because of his political future. Said Shapiro was far more cautious. And at a certain point, I began to think that what was influencing him was not mere caution, but political ambition, wrote Fetterman. So Shapiro voted against 12 of 15 requests. I guess Fetterman threw down his reading glasses, breaking them.
His own reading glasses yes. or Gab Shapiro's?
No, his own.
Give me your glasses.
Yeah.
No, okay.
And in particular, there were two brothers who wanted commutation, convicted of murder in a controversial case. Both said they were innocent. So that's what this was about. After Shapiro finished what Fetterman called a very long-winded and unnecessary speech, and then voted against the commutations, Fetterman muttered the blanking blank blank, but he didn't know the microphone was on.
Hmm. Would he have cared, though?
Their relationship never recovered after the clash. So
some things are hard to get past.
Look, he's very well liked, Josh Shapiro.
Yeah.
Fetterman has a different issue right now, especially with Democrats. There are people who have been speculating, is he going to switch parties?
I don't think he's going to.
I don't think he's going to either. And I don't think that they would want him only because of his issue on abortion. He is very pro-choice. Unless he's changed his mind on that, I don't know.
He's always been outspoken. He still has communication struggles right now. Mm-hmm. And for the most part, he votes for Democrats. There's a few issues, though. He digs his heels in and says, I understand everyone wants everyone to be all on one side. I like the fact, I don't have to agree with him, but it's nice that he's not just 100% in line with the party. I like that personally.
Well, I just think that
it causes people headaches.
He's not his own grievance with his party has come before what he should do for the people. That's my issue with him. He should be fighting for the people and issues rather than fighting with his own party. So go out there and fight for things. That's what people liked about you. Now you seem like you're cranky. You seem like you don't want to go to work. You seem like you don't want to, he complains about even having to show up, that he had a vacation that was interrupted. He seems to just grumble and complain instead of actually fighting for anything. He should have been out there at the forefront fighting for health care for people. But the onus was more on fighting with Democrats. And so I think that's the problem, that at least that's what my problem with him is. In the past, he had talked about fighting for people and their health care, and that kind of got swept on. He didn't even talk. He said, go out and vote. He didn't even talk about what people should vote for. It was wild. Let's get a look at that forecast heading into this weekend shortly. It is Joe Snedeker from Storm Tracker 16.
Hi, folks, and good Thursday. Joe Snedeker here from WNEP-TV, your personal meteorologist. Well, I just got back from Florida, and there's a story here. I don't know if you remember, but last April, my niece got married in Florida, and I had to go to the wedding, and I booked the wrong weekend. Of course, my wife called me an idiot, and then I had to rebook the next weekend, but I had some breeze points. I had some credit, so I flew down over the last few days to visit my mother-in-law. She's a snowbird in Florida. Yeah, I just love visiting my mother-in-law. It was great. And it was nice and sunny there. It did get cool. We're talking 60s for highs yesterday while we got the snow here. But it's almost all gone today. The snow melts away. Clouds, peeps of sun, a sprinkle of flurry. That should be about it, about 48 degrees. Overnight tonight, 35. Tomorrow, clouds and sun. High temperature about 48. So pretty much just wonderfully dull today and tomorrow. And that's a good thing, right? The weekend, partly sunny on Saturday, could hit 50. But by Saturday, late afternoon and evening, rain moves in. There's going to be rain Saturday night. No driving problems, just rain. And then on Sunday, slowly getting cooler again with some wet flakes and flurries mixing in and 48 degrees. Monday, flurries. And then we have a warm-up late next week. Already starting to look forward to that. So, good to be back. Hope you missed me because I missed you. Make it a good day. And it's a great day to be alive.
Thank you, Joe.
All right.
If you like Florida
up the
so much,
vacation time.
That's a funny story.
Oh my gosh.
Who hasn't done that?
I haven't.
I haven't either. That would be us. The answer's
us.
That's
an expensive mistake to make, girls, last minute.
I tried to drive to the Jersey Shore. I ended up in Canada.
It's time for food news.
Food news?
Food news.
Food news, Johnny.
What the heck, Wendy's? Is closing hundreds of locations.
No.
It's all part of a turnaround plan.
God, please don't make it.
The interim CEO said that a mid-single-digit percentage of the company's restaurants would close. So it looks like anywhere from 250 to 300 locations. They're going to begin this year and continue through 2026. I'll tell you what's not closing. I saw one, a new one down there in Clark Summit. I don't even know if it's open yet, but they've got it all put together.
It's ready to go. It's part of that whole Sheetz project that's been delayed. So
this is a week, this news, after Wendy's announced sales dropped 4.4% for the third quarter. So things have not been going well. What's going on there? They have a revamp underway called Project Fresh.
That seems like it should always have been the project.
You'd hope so. Right?
Doesn't it? Like, what if we say fresh?
So anyway, they've been struggling, I guess. All right. So
Project Fresher.
We don't know which ones may be closed or if any here, but 250 to 300 out of 6,000 nationwide.
You may not even notice it.
Might not. All right. Coffee Mate is launching a new butter beer creamer collection. It's all part of Harry Potter themed coffee creamers now. Limited edition flavors will arrive at retailers here in the U.S. in December. So there's three versions, regular, zero sugar, and cold foam.
Wow.
So butter beer. Also, Chick-fil-A has brought back its popular peppermint chip beverages for the holiday season. That includes the milkshake, the peppermint chip frosted coffee, and the peppermint iced coffee. Also coming back this season, the chicken tortilla soup made with shredded chicken breast, navy and black beans, vegetables, and creamy white base. You may see the news that McRib sandwich is back at some McDonald's. It's a limited time thing. I searched the McRib locator. The closest I could see near us, I mean, and I don't know if it is the closest. I'm not really, some of these are places I don't
even know. If you're willing to drive,
State College has them. That's for sure.
There you go.
Brookville, Somerset, Worcester, Kittenning, Titusville, and Leechburg, all those in Pennsylvania.
Man, I guess I'm not getting
McRib. But nothing nearby. No, people love their McRibs.
Here's I think this will make people go, oh my God, really? I was just thinking the butterbeer story. How old is the average Harry Potter fan now?
Right.
The first book came out in 1998. If you were 11 then, you're turning 40
college,
next year.
Right?
Think about that. Coffee, that makes perfect marketing
sense.
My
daughter's 21 and she is a huge Harry Potter fan.
The first run of fans who made it something special.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first 2 orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing.
your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds low after 35 gigabytes of network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Do you think
that
reassessment in Lackawanna County should be delayed? Because 60 years hasn't been long enough. Let us know. Do you think it should be delayed? Because attorney for Lackawanna County sent a letter to the attorney for the plaintiffs in the court case that led to a requirement that there be reassessment in the county. Do you think it should be delayed? We now have the response from the attorney for the plaintiffs. So yesterday we were talking about the fact that a Lackawanna County attorney did send a letter out asking if the plaintiffs would agree to delay implementation of the county's assessment until January 1st of 2027. Imagine you take the county to court years ago to get them to reassess, because some people are paying more than their fair share because the county has not done their due diligence for six decades. And you finally get a mandate that it's going to have to happen. And so in 2022, that comes down and they put together this thing and they get Tyler Technologies to come in, and it's a long process and it's finally going to be implemented. And now you want to go, oh, what's one more year? Well, we've got the response from the plaintiffs. The response is no, we are not consenting to extending the reassessment deadline. Attorney Marielle Mocker, the executive director of the nonprofit Community Justice Project, and they represent the plaintiffs, reiterated in the response letter, the county's new assessments will result in a much fairer distribution of the tax burden. They reiterated that the county's current assessment scheme is deeply unequal and regressive, with owners of lower value properties paying far more than their fair share. They also reject any notion that a failure to include the old assessed values on the reassessment notices would be some kind of fatal defect. That's one of the reasons why they were saying we need an extension, because these certain things weren't done. Accordingly, and this is according to Mocker, the plaintiff attorney, we do not consent to delaying implementation of the reassessed values, and we expect the reassessed values to be certified by November 15th, 2025. That's coming up shortly. So now, what does this do to this whole idea of a reassessment pause? We know Republican Commissioner Chris Shermack, he wanted a delay. We know that Tom Welby, the Democrat who ran and won in the special election, ran on possibly delaying implementation. The court order in this case states the county shall fully complete the reassessment and implement the final new assessed values for use in all real property taxation in Lackawanna County no later than January 1st, 2026. So that would be a blatant violation of the order if all of a sudden they delayed it. So will this fight go any further? Or was it just something that was, hey, we'll ask the plaintiffs if they're okay, we'll run on that, and then, you know, not go any further than it? We'll see where this thing goes next. But we'll have to hear what Shermack has to say. Brenda Sacco, who's the interim But when is, I think after the election is certified, that would be, wouldn't they then swear in Tom Welby? I'm just wondering when that will happen.
And this story is going to, I think it's going to get a lot more steam by next week, because what Lackawanna County property owners are supposed to get their new tax bills, or not their bills, the amount they're going to pay.
They're supposed to get the new,
we're going to find out. We're going to find out. So it's going to be interesting.
They got to come up with that formula, because they then will have certified what everyone's, you know, reassessment is. Not that you can't still appeal next year. You can.
Yeah.
But then they have to take what the total amount of taxes is. Remember, this is budget neutral. They're not allowed to raise anything. And they'll have to do that divvying up and figure out what the millage rate is for each area. And then you'll have an idea of what your bill will be.
Yeah, I guess I'm being myself. I'm nervous about this. I know a lot of people are, it sucks. If you are somebody who's overpaid forever and no one would listen to your pleas, that's horrible. If you're someone like me, I bought in like 5 years ago, I knew the taxes were low. It's scary because you don't know. You know, it's not like they're going to back tax previous residents who just got away with it. Not that we really did anything
right.
wrong.
I mean,
it's
I think most
sucks.
People knew that they were but having an advantage or had a disadvantage. And it's just, waiting around.
It was a real estate strategy. I was told this is how property taxes are. Utilize that in your shopping. You know, it is what it is. I always knew it was a possibility, so I'm not angry about it. Where I get concerned, though, is, and I was just running the numbers, if I get a 20% increase in property taxes, that's going to sting. Anything more than that is going to really wreck a lot of my plans.
But having any additional time at this point, other than delaying the inevitable, is it going to change anything? No. It's not going to change anything.
No, it's not.
It may give you a reprieve from having to pay more, but then you also have other people that don't get the reprieve from having to pay, they should be paying less. And then there's many people who are just going to pay the same. It's not going to really change anything at all. So it looks like I'd be surprised. Look, we have a winner in the election, and I'm thinking that once they get this whole election certified, they'll be able to swear him in. It would, I believe, be irresponsible for the temporary commissioner to try to make any kind of big moves. I mean, she already did by firing, the communications guy for and changing the leadership and whatever. It seemed like that was just petty revenge tactics and whatever that is. But I don't think that she should be making any decisions like on this scale. That should be something up to Tom Welby when he comes in.
Because that seems like the right thing to do. But she should be, if she wanted to, she should. She could. I mean, technically, she's allowed
to
do
it. She can do anything.
Yeah.
Because she is in that seat until it is a different story when someone else is signed in. So, sworn in. So, we'll see. All right. Meanwhile, how about this story? The former head of the Bar Association in Cambria County, Pennsylvania, is going to spend 2 to 4 years in prison after stealing over $300,000 and use the funds for vacations, cosmetic procedures, and her family's nonprofit organization. It's crazy. Between 2018 and 2023, Robin Higgins, former executive director, Cambria County Bar Association, funneled that $300,000 from that association. Again, as we said, she got to get some face work done.
You look good for your time in the pen.
Go on vacation. Also took money to put it in Cuddle for Kids, the nonprofit organization operated by her family. Then they say she similarly stole the funds from Cuddle for Kids for her own use. I mean, there's just a certain place in hell for people like that, isn't it? Oh, I have this great organization. People donate and such. And then she also steals, and she's already pled guilty, folks. She's in the sentencing phase. Steals to put it in that fund and then steals from that fund to take care of herself. Wild.
You'd think someone in that position, you'd think anyone in that position is going to realize. It's like people who don't worry, who rob places and go, how'd they find out? So there's cameras everywhere. There's so many digital trails
nowadays.
Wild.
Well, this is what happens when you put people in charge and you don't have anyone in place. So for 5 years that went on until somebody got a clue. It's just amazing.
And don't we all know someone in our life at some point where they just all of a sudden it's like, where did they get the money for a new car? Where did they get those?
Well, here's the surgery? Thing. Do not ever be involved in any organization that doesn't have at least two people that have to get like sign for things and someone does audit it every year. It just doesn't make sense. So the Bar Association for all those years to take $300,000, just wild. Approval of the way that President Donald Trump is managing the government has dropped sharply since early in his second term. This is an AP NORC poll. And what's really interesting here is the rising discontent coming from fellow Republicans. So when you look at the numbers for U.S. adults, percent who approve of how Donald Trump is managing the government, in March, we were at 43%. It is at 33% right now. Mm. When you look at what Republicans think, again, this is approval of Trump's management of the federal government. In March, it was 81%. It is down to 68% right now. Independents in March, 38% supportive. Now it's just 25%. Now, Democrats, you'd expect, you know, 9% supported him back then. Now it's down to 5. But it really shows that people are very unhappy about what is going on. And what is this about just the government shutdown? I would contend it is not. Now, some look at this and they go, oh, so it looks like they're blaming Republicans more than Democrats. I think that it's more than that. And at least, you know, I can just speak to anecdotally things that I've heard and things that I've seen. And I think it's a mix of the priorities the administration has made and how what people are struggling with and what they want worked on, like the economy, right? Costs, health care, groceries, electricity, utilities, homes, cars, products, tariffs that are causing products to be more expensive. And what do you see from the administration before we even got to a government shutdown? What did we see? We see that he's getting involved in foreign issues when you hear about money going to Argentina, when you see that he has these people on the streets with their faces covered going after everyday people who are working, not the criminals. There's some of those. I'm not saying there aren't, but the vast majority of what we are seeing look like everyday people, landscapers, people going about their business. And this heavy-handed, you know, it just seems really too violent for what people want to see happen. So while they're struggling, they see that he is, it seems, completely out of touch with what you and I are dealing with every day. And then what did we see just recently around the same time as a shutdown? He's literally demolishing parts of the White House to put up a ballroom. He redid the bathroom with marble and gold. It's like the Palace of Versailles. He is more worried about living in luxury than helping any of us. And then you're going to have the healthcare issues and the problems with the costs. So I think it is not just about the shutdown. I think it's also about not doing what he said he would do when he got into office.
I think some of the things he's always promised, a lot of them were like a lot of fears, not in my backyard type things, illegal immigration and crime. Who would want some of this stuff to land literally in your backyard? But it didn't. And it was okay to cheer for that for a lot of people. But some of these issues now are literally in your yard. They're in your yard. They're in your refrigerator. They're in your bank accounts. And you're seeing cause and effect. And he's out there telling you it's fine. That's a real disconnect. Like, it's a real disconnect. I've said this to so many people recently, and they go, yeah, I get that. Mm-hmm. Things are not cheaper at the grocery store, which would have been something we would have all kind of gritted our teeth and just go, oh, well, hopefully it gets better. But he went out of his way to say, it's easy to fix. We can do it on day one. He set that table and then just ignored it. If he's trying, he's not succeeding. And it sucks when it hits you that personally, like any of these issues.
And again, when you're struggling, and many people are, and you see he's at this great Gatsby themed party or they're, you know, ripping down the White House, parts of it, the East End without even telling people about it. It's like, do something first and then ask for permission later. Talking about a ballroom being named after him, talking about the Commanders and their new stadium being named after him, talking about building an arch on the grounds, you know, near the White House, like just crazy stuff that is on people's priority list. Not even there, not even like at the bottom, like not even there. Could you imagine if he ran for office to say, I'm going to build a ballroom. I'm going to redo the Lincoln bathroom. I'm going to put an arch up. I want things named after me. People would be like, what are you talking about? You said you were going to day one end the war in Ukraine, right? Day one, going to take care of the problem with inflation. You know, day one, he was going to care about you. And then the other day, the worst thing I think that he's done in terms of what his own supporters think of him, when he talked about those H-1B visas.
Yeah.
If you were working for the federal government and not getting paid, now that it's opened, I'm seeing a word that paychecks should start again tomorrow. No, wait, Saturday. Saturday. Yeah. You should be paid on Saturday. That's what I'm seeing. So I'm just letting folks know that, because that's been a question. Now, before the break, we were talking about a comment that Donald Trump made. And I think that the interview he did with Laura Ingraham on Fox News did not do him any favors at all in many ways. And even she looked, I would say, pretty disgusted with some of what he was focusing on, you know, when she talked about the decor and things like that. But there was one comment in particular that has some MAGA supporters in an uproar. And this has to do with jobs here, right? And bringing in other people to do what Americans could do. We have that clip for you.
And he starts off just talking about how Republicans need to do a better job talking about the good economy.
Republicans have to talk about it.
And does that mean the H-1B visa thing will not be a big priority for your administration? Because if you want to raise wages for American workers, you can't flood the country with tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of foreign workers.
You also do have to bring in talent.
We don't have talented people here. You don't have certain talents and people have to learn.
You can't take people off an unemployment line and say, I'm going to put you into a factory where we're going to make missiles, or I'm going to put
you. How did we ever do it before?
Well, let me just. I'll give you an example. In Georgia, they raided because they wanted illegal immigrants out. They had people from South Korea that made batteries all their lives. You know, making batteries are very complicated. It's not an easy thing. It's very dangerous. A lot of explosions, a lot of problems. They had like 500 or 600 people, early stages, to make batteries and to teach people how to do it. Well, they wanted them to get out of the country. You're going to need that, Laura. I mean, I know you and I disagree on this. You can't just say country's coming in, going to invest $10 billion to build a plant and going to take people off an unemployment line who haven't worked in 5 years, and they're going to start making missiles. It doesn't work that way.
What is he talking about?
It's very unsettling to hear. It would be unsettling to hear any president.
I thought it was important, she said. How did we do it before?
Because we have, right?
Right.
But it's very unsettling to hear a president kind of just not have faith in people. Mm-hmm. This idea, he could have said, look, I'm sure we have to do a better job of finding them then if they're here because they're not stepping forward.
Or training them.
Right, or training. But
you bring in people to train them. This is the whole point. The people, well, you're going to take someone off the unemployment line for 5 years. What the hell? Yes. What? The point, if you're the president of this country, the point is to help your people. This isn't to say no one should ever be allowed, but to say that there's not talented people or people who are able to learn and be trained is just crazy. And it really has upset his base.
It's one of those things where I'm just like, he can't mean that, right? But he said it with such confidence. It's bizarre. I don't know what else he would have meant other than, like, you know what I mean? Was he trying to just say like, oh, well, you know, specific trades are...
How did we do it before?
Exactly. That's such a key point in that.
Yeah.
And we did do that.
Right.
People can learn how to do things.
Wow. Absolutely.
Because I think there's a lot of truth to the fact that there's a lot. People say, well, Americans don't want to, you know, pick fruit Yeah, I think you're probably right. But these are higher level jobs. Most Americans strive for something bigger and better.
Well, I mean, my dad went into the military and with the GI Bill got technical training, technical school, and then was able to get a job. At first, he worked for Chrysler and it had to do with automotive, obviously. Yeah. And then it became General Dynamics. He didn't need to go to college for 4 years to learn how to do that type of job. It does take training and it takes skill, but it's something you can invest in with your people. And that's a shame that he would think that we don't have talented people here to do these jobs. And that really hurts anybody, Democrat, Republican. I don't even care where you stand on the H-1B-1 issue. If you believe that, oh, we need X amount to come in, I would say, to train people here.
Well, right.
But the point is not, oh, open up a plant here and not hire any American workers. That's insane.
You say, look, there are some brilliant minds around the world. And if we bring them here to help our people achieve greatness, too, we all benefit. We'll send some of our great minds there. Mm-hmm. This was just it was a very weird thing. And it's very you know me. I'll try to find that benefit of the doubt. It's a very weird statement because he clearly sounds like he has no faith in people here to do that job. Not that everyone could, but there's got to be someone.
Well, you can. And the president should know that. These are not jobs that require, like, now some of them, obviously, are some jobs that take a high level of education and they do come over here. But when you're talking about some of these other jobs, to say we don't have the talent here.
It's disconcerting to hear that more than it makes me angry. Like, it's just bizarre to hear a statement like that.
Do you ever screw up an appointment? Do you think it's one day?
Yes.
The other day, my husband did this. Thought he was going to an appointment. Turns out he was a week off. But Joe Snedeker screwed up a vacation plan. He's also got our forecast for us. Meteorologist Joe Snedeker from Storm Tracker 16.
Hi, folks, and good Thursday. Joe Snedeker here from WNEP-TV, your personal meteorologist. Well, I just got back from Florida. And there's a story here. I don't know if you remember, but last April, my niece got married in Florida, and I had to go to the wedding. And I booked the wrong weekend. Of course, my wife called me an idiot, and then I had to rebook the next weekend, but I had some breeze points. I had some credit. So I flew down over the last few days to visit my mother-in-law. She's a snowbird in Florida. Yeah, I just love visiting my mother-in-law. It was great. And it was nice and sunny there. It did get cool. We're talking 60s for highs yesterday while we got the snow here. But it's almost all gone today. The snow melts away. Clouds, peeps of sun, a sprinkle of flurry. That should be about it, about 48 degrees. Overnight tonight, 35. Tomorrow, clouds and sun. High temperature about 48. So pretty much just wonderfully dull today and tomorrow. And that's a good thing, right? The weekend, partly sunny on Saturday, could hit 50. But by Saturday, late afternoon and evening, rain moves in. There's going to be rain Saturday night. No driving problems, just rain. And then on Sunday, slowly getting cooler again with some wet flakes and flurries mixing in and 48 degrees. Monday, flurries. And then we have a warm-up late next week. Already starting to look forward to that. So, good to be back. Hope you missed me because I missed you. Make it a good day. And it's a great day to be alive.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. It is 41 degrees. We have cloudy skies at your official weather station, WILK. The U.S. Mint has pressed its final pennies.
Mm.
Production has ended after more than 230 years.
Now it's just take a penny. No more give a penny because we don't have a penny.
When it was introduced in 1793, a penny could buy a biscuit, a candle, or a piece of candy. Now many of them just sit in jars or junk drawers. Yeah. And did you know it costs nearly 4 cents to make one?
So, but they last forever.
Now I doubt we're in the future. You won't. They're plentiful in circulation, but I think eventually you're not going to have stuff that requires anything outside of a nickel. So like instead of $1.97, it's either going to be, I think, $2. I don't think they're going $1.95.
I think it would really contribute to the dumbing down of society when it comes to people paying for things. If suddenly we stopped going by pennies and we used everything by fives, you know, kids today can't do math. They get confused when you try to make change to begin with.
Oh, it's so wild.
That would only help.
Here's the thing. If you go, oh, it costs too much to make. I understand. They cost far less to produce than a nickel. A nickel costs 14 cents to make.
It's a bad business plan.
It really is. The dime costs less than 6 cents to produce.
Oh,
but
maybe it evens out.
But a quarter costs 15 cents.
Okay.
So what's going to happen? Are we going to see the nickel go? Maybe. No. Yeah. Who knows? Anyway, I love this. So after people, we started posting, you know, when people started posting the news, people are like, but how are we going to check our tire tread?
Yeah.
And do we say a penny for your thoughts anymore? Or is it now a nickel?
In all honesty, I always felt like it was inappropriate to use Lincoln's head to check your tire pressure, considering his the end of his life. It just seemed like it was the wrong. There's got to be a different way to do it. So shame on you for doing that.
Right.
Yeah,
shame on you there.
Lincoln deserves better. They got to get him on something else. What else? What can we do?
I don't know.
I don't know. I have no answers for you either, but I feel like it's sad just to see Lincoln go just because he happens to be on the penny.
So do you care that there's no more pennies? I mean, I guess they haven't been in big supply anyway. They basically, even though it's completely shut down, they've kind of dwindled anyway.
Pennies are like rocks. If you need one, it's pretty easy to find one. Like they always seem to be everywhere.
Well, they'll be around.
And every once in a while, if you don't see one, you're like, well, that's weird. I haven't seen a penny in a while. Like, it just seems like they're so plentiful. Mm-hmm. I don't think we...
Did you see the top baby names for 2025?
Lincoln. Are we moving on?
Yeah, we are.
That probably is on the list, actually.
Lincoln, yeah, that could happen. I've heard those.
Maybe.
Baby Center's annual report is out. The most popular baby girl name, Olivia.
Okay. I was going to say Ava. I feel like I see
it's
a lot of Avas.
Always with an A at the end anymore. Olivia.
That's how we can tell they're girls.
The top boy name...
Oh,
I thought you'd jump on it, but you jumped on the other one, Noah.
Oh, no, I never would have guessed that.
Now, some new coming names joining the top 10 list, first of all, for female names, Eliana and Aurora are now top 10. Luca has re-entered the boys list as well. Trends shaping the baby names coming up. Beyonce's Cowboy Carter.
They're naming their kids Cowboy Carter.
Oh, I think maybe Carter. Who knows? And TV shows like The Summer I Turned Pretty. Are there people in that show? I haven't seen it.
This is my son, The Summer I Turned Pretty.
Names like Blake and Justin have dropped in popularity after those controversies and that lawsuit, along with boy names ending in Y. So let's take a look at them. Top 10 girl names. We told you Olivia's number one. Almost every one of these have an A at the end. Number 10 is Mia. Number 9, Aurora. Number 8, Ellie. No E, no A. Number 7. So like Ellie, but 7 is Eliana. Charlotte, number 6. Number 5, Isabella. Number 4, Emma. Number 3, Sophia. Number 2, Amelia. And number 1 is Olivia.
Okay.
Stop with the A's at the end. It's old. There's a lot of them.
There's a few of them. Then
come up with some new ones. Okay. All right.
Need more girls named Claude.
Still have Liam on the list. Yes, Liam for boys' names, number 2. So it's Noah, Liam, then it's Oliver, Elijah, Mateo, Levi, Lucas, Ezra, Asher, and Luca.
Falling off the list. Kids named Stephen Miller. Not fun anymore.
So the Summer I Turned Pretty show has Team Conrad versus Team Jeremiah. So on the, as you were talking about with Cowboy Carter, there's the track My Rose, helping names like Rose bloom again.
Interesting.
Also Jane, Miley, even Willie riding the wave.
Willie.
And in addition, Backstreet's back. So are boy band names. Y2K and Backstreet Boys driven a renewed interest in names like Nick, Lance, and Howie. K-pop fans joining in, Jin and 17's Jun moving up in the list.
It's June.
J-U-N, so
yeah,
I don't know.
I think it is.
So there's other ones. Premium TV shows have a grip on a unique name like Helena from Severance. Or is it Helena? Who knows?
They call her Helly on that show, which is cool.
Oh. Names from the pit, Samira, Heather, Cassie,
Doctor,
Isabel is up there from The Summer I Turned Pretty, as we mentioned. Athletes also, Jalen, a couple different spellings of that. Isaiah and Dylan are climbing. WNBA stars like Courtney, Kelsey, and Natasha also influencing names as well. tonight at 6.05 p.m. We have the Penn State Coaches Show. Michigan State this weekend. Can they do it? Look, they've had it really rough outside of the fact that the coaches fired a month ago, I think yesterday. Then they have to, you know, play a series of really, really tough opponents. And so something more doable, obviously, this week. And I'm certainly expecting and hoping for a win.
I'll tell you something. If they lose again, boy, the expectations for next year are just, you know, it'd be great. Because, I mean, how bad they couldn't repeat this twice.
I really hope that they can get this thing together.
I just really want to, I mean, I hate to say this. My wife's so excited. She's like, I only have three more games. right. She lives for this. But, like, I just want to get us to the end of the season to start whatever rebuild process we have.
There's a lot of questions about who the coach will be. And, you know, some of these coaches people have talked about are going to be in a playoff situation. Yeah. And many are saying they cannot get someone in a playoff situation because you need to start getting people off the portal. And if you're waiting for that, you are going to be missing time. I keep hearing this Eli Drinkwitz, is he Missouri?
I believe so,
coach,
yeah.
Because it's believed that they won't be in that situation. And people talk about him in pretty high terms, but
minus the fact that he's not going to be in one of those positions. Right, because don't you want Like, we need someone good, but not great, because we want him now.
That's one of the names you're hearing now. This Brian Hartline, people are saying, some say, you know, he still doesn't have that head coaching experience. He probably needs a few more years.
He's the OC at Ohio State.
And yet others are saying he won't be here in time, because obviously they'll be in a playoff situation as well. It'll be interesting to see where it goes. All right, it's time for us to play a little game.
It's the celebrity birthday game.
On this November the 13th, here are some celebrities celebrating today. Jason guesses the age. Within 2 years, we consider that a win.
I'm in a zone, but I don't know if it's the right one.
I have not seen Mr. Big, Chris Noth, in a while on television, but...
Oh, God, the actor. I
thought Sex in the City.
Yeah.
Chris Noth. How old is he?
62.
He's 71.
Is he?
Yeah, I was surprised by that. Gerard Butler, actor.
Butler? No. I'm stupid. He's 65 also.
See, I thought he was older. He's 56.
Yeah, he doesn't age well.
Whoopi Goldberg has a birthday today. How old is Whoopi?
100. No, she's 75.
She's 70.
Oof. All right.
You're way off today. Jimmy Kimmel, talk show host.
Jimmy Kimmel, let's see. He's my age. I'm going to say he's like 52.
He is 58.
All right,
you tried. If it's your birthday,
that's it.
Today,
I got nothing.
Yeah, that's it. Happy birthday.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.